It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
What's up, WFO Radio listeners? How are you guys doing out there on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Twitch, whatever that is? Joe Costello back with you, and we're going to go live for a little while. We got a couple of great guests from the NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series World. Two-time Funny Car World Champion, Cruz Pedregon. We had Eric Lane on last week, and Eric just said some amazing things about Cruz and what they're doing and how ready they're getting for the season that will soon be. And so why not catch up with Cruz and get his side of the story? I know he's been doing a lot of iRacing, and he's been just getting ready. We're going to show some cool photographs. You can bet some of them got a big mustache, Cruz Pedregon. Also on the show, Alan Przinski. Pro Stock Allen, Mopar Allen, Jersey Allen. He has been fighting and clawing his way into the factory hot rods for several years now. And how has he done it? And what has he got planned for when we return? That is all coming up just seconds from now. Do want to remind everybody that tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we've got Ron Tobler, Ron Capps, Wine Night. It's a special edition of our Friday Cocktails show. And everyone is encouraged to grab a beverage and hang out with us as we share some stories from the road and just kind of hang out with everybody that passes through on WFO. Now, this show is brought to you by some great sponsors, people who have made it possible over the years. And I want to thank them because right now, like, we need sponsors to keep this thing going. And I'm talking about Magic Dry, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA. They support Scott Palmer. They have got a great product. It's made out of coconut. A lot of people use it. You should too. And if you got a cat, well, you can just get Cat Spot. That's what I always say. Cat Spot. Shop Magic Dry. Simple as that. Also, talking about our friends at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure, something you can go on. It's like a ride, like going bungee jumping, except you're not bungee jumping. You're actually driving a dragster down a drag strip, 130 miles an hour. Pretty amazing stuff. Once everybody gets rolling again, that's a bucket list thing for me. Check them out, frankhawley.com. Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Who is the next generation of engine builders, of machinists, of CNC programmers? Like, who's going to do it to keep our sport going? We need the next generation of young people to get educated, and Samtech are the people that do it. Check them out, samtech.edu. Also, Marvin Rodak, hot sauces and spice rubs, everything good. Marvin doing such a great job. He is there roasting the coffee as we speak for your fresh per your order. I'll talk a little bit about that later because, you know, I'm fueled by Rodak's coffee until Friday, and then it's a little something different. And then finally, Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology. We do a special podcast for them called Hidden Horsepower. There is a brand new episode. John Kazi is the guest, 9-time engine master. And if you want to learn about the inner workings of engines of all kinds, whether it be supercharged or naturally aspirated, you're going to want to listen to that show, The Tricks of the Trade. But it's all really designed to make sure you know that Total Seal Piston Rings are where it's at in terms of you bought all this high performance stuff, you might as well get the best ring seal as is possible. Now, before we go any further, it is time to bring on the first of our couple of guests. Has had a long career in NHRA drag racing, and hopefully it will be an even longer career as we keep on trucking. Joining the show, 2-time Funny Car World Champ, Mr. Cruz Pedregon. Cruiser, how are you?
Joe. Hey, man. Good. How are you?
I'm great. So give us the lowdown. Like, where are you in relationship to the shop and what's going on? I know you do some iRacing. Is this the same place you handle all of that?
Yep, we're right in the shop here in Brownsburg, right in Nitro Row, they call it. Or what were they trying to call it? Nitro Alley. They were trying to call it Nitro Alley. But we're right here, right across the street from Tony Stewart's building. JFR is down the street. DSR is up the street. So, yeah, the simulators here, this is where the race shop. We have a 25,000 square foot building. We occupy 15,000 of the 25, and the 10,000 we lease out to scrappers Mike Salinas. So we have a racing building here. So yeah, here we are.
Well, that area is so cool if you like drag racing, right? Like, our sport is really cool if you like drag racing, and the brain power that's just around. If you needed something done, chances are there's somebody who can do it, build it, make it, design it, produce it, within 500 feet.
Yeah, I remember back in the days when I raced for Larry Miner back, and he was in Hemet, California. And then Larry hired Lee Beard, and Lee had this connection with Indy. And I thought, Indy, Indianapolis, why Indy? And, you know, and like he put it, you know, you come back here, there's the IndyCar world and all the sprint cars and the midgets. So you have a racing town here. And like you said, there's all the fab shops, everything you need right here in a little town here. So we moved back here in the 90s with the McDonald's team, and we leased the property out over on Old School Gasoline Alley. So since then, they developed this little area just a little bit west of IRP called Brownsburg. And I remember my first experience here. I drove over and I saw Perdomo's shop. Perdomo was like the first race team here, built a nice building. So since then, it's just been growing. There's, you know, pretty much all the drag race teams are here, even, you know, mid-sized teams, all the big teams, DSR, JFR. So yeah, it was like a property was readily available. The land was 2-acre lots. So Tony and I built at the time in like 2004. We had a building built and purposely built. It's not an old warehouse where we converted. It's a purpose-built building with a little showroom area. So big doors so the haulers can pull in. And so yeah, it's one of the things I'm most proud of in my racing career. Something I could look at when my racing's over with and say, hey man, we managed to get a building out of this deal.
Yes. Well, exactly. Some sort of equity. And we always talk about race teams, like you buy a piece of pipe and then tomorrow the piece of pipe is worth 50% less, which is a bit of a bummer in racing, but right. You're also doing it for the love. But land, they're not building anymore. And I think like that whole story, the story of Brownsburg and how it became like drag race central. And from what I understand, and you would know better than I do, but that is the reason that Brownsburg annexed Lucas Oil Raceway in Claremont. And like they realized like, whoa, money in racing, money for us. We can build a tax base and own this thing, drag racing and motorsports. I think Andretti's around there somewhere, too. And they it encouraged them with racing.
Yeah, in fact, I didn't know what a tax abatement was, but they offered a tax abatement. Once I figured out what it was, they give you tax relief for like 7 years. So they incentivized racers to make their home here. So now they have a, you know, bona fide racing town. And I'm sure the long old school people that have lived here forever I don't know if they're really thrilled with that, but we keep the place clean. You know, if you drive down South Point Circle, every building's well kept. It's a nice looking area, and you know, and we, you know, this is where the racers are. So, if you're not a racer and you're from here, you probably look, you know, like some of these buildings that are rental properties. They probably look at them like, "Hey, where's your race car?" But we try to keep it looking nice, you know. And like I said, it's an investment. I mean, racing is great; we do it. But you know, I always felt, and Tony too. I since bought the building from Tony since he retired and he's in the booth now. But
TV
so
guy.
He's doing TV now. So, but it's something that you can look forward to at the end of your career. You know, we don't all get to race forever. Nobody does. So it's something that that we can look back and as an investment and for what our career has been able to provide us.
Well, I think it's great. And that area, there is a downside though. I think, as with everything, right? Time marches on, but I liked the era when I had my own Miami Top Fuel dragster that I could call my own, like Darryl Gwynn. Those guys were repping my part of the country. And yeah, sure, there were a lot of California teams. But when everybody moved to the center of the country, I feel like we lost a little something because very few people have a competitive nitro car that reps their region. Follow me?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I recommend to the NHRA PR department that they really go back to the driver where they're really from. Antron, New Jersey, Ron Capps, Carlsbad, Cruz Pedregon, Gardena, California. You need to, wherever you're home, that's where you need to be repping on your, at least on your bios and some of the different things, because none of us are from Brownsburg. We love it here, but we're not from here. And so, you know, I agree that if you look at everybody's bio, it's all Brownsburg, 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 yet there's no one from here. So Tommy Johnson's from Iowa. I always get a kick out of where different people are from. So from that perspective, like I say, they should go back to where they're from, where they live. And I call Brownsburg home, but it's really not my home. Southern California will always be my home, just like Miami will be always be your home, Joe.
Yes, Yeah, and it is. And I remember when, you know, Daryl would go up and race, like I felt a connection, and I'm sure a lot of people do. But at the same time, you got to go where the brain power is. You got to go where the brain trust is. You got to go where it's convenient. And you guys are right in the middle there, and it makes perfect sense to me. All right, so we had Eric on, Eric Lane. That's in the archive for all you first-time listeners out there. I do encourage everybody to start a watch party on Facebook. So many more people end up seeing the show and get to see all the cool things that Cruz is about to say. We'll give you an opportunity to ask a question through the comments section. Cruz can see all of those. Some of them make the air. But Eric said, you know, you've been in a kind of a rebuilding process over the past couple of years. You got a win at the Four Wide a few years back. But I was really excited about your combination this year. If nothing else, I know Nick and Eric, a.k.a. Hop, they got something to prove, right? They got the opportunity. They got a swagger. They know what they're doing. They've worked in and around and for the best. They are the young next generation of go-getters, and this was going to be the year where they came out. You guys sorted some stuff out at the start of the season and got after it, and then, of course, we all know what happened. But it was really exciting to hear how fired up he was, and most importantly, he was fired up about you and the way the guys want to go to war for you now after the way you've handled this situation.
Well, I appreciate it. Eric's a top-notch professional. Like you said, he's worked for the best. Jimmy Prock, Ron Tobler, and he's been there for many years. If you look at his stops, it's not with just 2 or 3 years. It was long tenures with these teams. And, you know, John Force and DSR certainly are two of the biggest names. So if you can go to school or go to college there, and come to work here, you know, where we – you know, we've not had the best people at times. You know, we've had some good people. Lee Beard's been with me, but very little. But I really needed a group of guys, two guys. It takes more than one guy. And Nick and Eric are a great team to bring a lot of experience and stability to my team, which I badly needed. You know, I tell them all the time, guys, I can't do this alone. I need those people. And they're two of the best guys. Their attitudes are positive. They're gung-ho, they're enthusiastic, they're motivated. A lot of the things that you need, to go out there and do battle with these guys. And they know what we're up against. They know the what's behind the scenes with these, you know, big teams. And we match up well to them. I mean, I am a small team, but I am not a little team. I have a lot of experience myself. We have a team. We've been in business for many years. And so we feel like we stack up well to the competition. However, we need a race, so we need to get out there and make some runs. The first part of the year, you know, there's going to be a feeling out process. I wasn't going to do what I did a few years ago and just completely give the incoming person, you know, the crew chief, like I did, you know, with some people. I said, hey, come on in, man. You can do whatever you want to do. And then I wind up going back a year or two. I decided, hey, we've built a little bit of a structure here, a little bit of a combination. Let's stick with it. And then we'll start incorporating some of the things that these guys bring to the table. So the first Pomona and Phoenix was exactly that. It was basically, hey, let's establish, kind of like a football team, hey, let's establish the run here. Let's not just go on bombs away. And so we were in the process of that, of course, when everything came to a stop. So I feel great about it. And I think the most important thing is that we get along. And Eric is not one of those guys that wants to just pour everything. He didn't come in here and say, hey, Cruz, here's what we used to do it, and here's what you're doing wrong. He embraced what we're doing. We have some we have a philosophy here. I'm just not throwing things out, see if it'll stick. We have a baseline, fundamental way of how I want to run the car, how I think we can win races. And what we want to do with Eric and Nick is bring in some of the things that make the car more consistent and make our parts ordering go smoother, make our inventory more robust. Let's make the people that we surround ourselves with, let's make sure these guys are the right kind of guys that really want to be here, that like them. And so they've brought guys in just because they're good guys. So really it's a process, and it's a process that takes time. We need runs, of course, who doesn't, but I really, really feel like we have a lot going for us. And so as soon as we get out there and we're able to race again, Joe, I don't think it's going to happen in one or two runs. I think look at us over the next 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 runs. And man, I think we're going to be really something to watch.
I agree. My learning curve is, you know, progressing, but it's a very steep learning curve with all of this. And one thing that I've learned over my time out there is that whatever your schedule, extend it by a year, like whatever you would like, man, we'd really like to be going in 6 months, a year and a half is what it's going to take. It just takes longer. Let's get into some of the stuff that you've been doing. You're very involved with the iRacing, as is Caps, but that's not just because of this. You've been a dirt guy for a long time. I remember you and Caps both did the Prelude to the Dream with Tony Stewart. That was a cool thing. Eldora, you have been on dirt racing for a lot of years, but that, as great as it is, man, this iRacing situation is getting so much publicity. And if you're a funny car driver with a sponsor and you want to get out there and there's no racing, man, this thing is perfect, and you've been doing it and loving it and taking it seriously. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you nailed it. We have a sponsor, Snap-on. It's their 100th anniversary, so of course we want to put their name out there whenever we can. But more, it's more of an opportunity that I've been given. Ron Capps and I have been recognized as drivers that, hey, let's go out there and represent our sport, so to speak. And there's other drivers out there, Doug Coletta. I mean, I'm not saying that there's not other drivers, but I think Ron and I, just for some reason, get these opportunities. So we try to make the best of them. We do put in a lot of time, a lot of hours. And I've had a simulator, thanks to Caleb, my guy, Caleb Cox, who's a younger guy, that he wanted to buy this simulator about a year or two, maybe it was 2 years ago. And I said, yeah, go ahead. And we can get this update and this and that update. And so I would get on it occasionally, nothing like I'm doing now. But as soon as this situation became, hey, we can race and race against the best of the best. Well, it's a good and a bad to it. Number one, you want to be good enough where you hold your own and not go out there and run dead last. But it also gives you some exposure. So it's been great to race with some of these guys, Juan Pablo Montoya, and some of the best dirt track racers in the country. I do have one little, not complaint, but there are some drivers that are younger, the younger generation, that have been doing this since iRacing, I think, came out about 3 years ago. Well, guess what? They've been doing it all the 3 years nonstop, so they're pretty damn good. And so our learning curve or our competitive angle has been so steep that Ron and I, we've struggled to make the A main. I'm not going to lie to you. We've had some, finishing in the D, finishing in the C. And the other element is it's a contact sport, so to speak. Nobody has to worry about getting hurt, Joe. Right, nobody has to worry about paying for the bent up car. So there's some guys there'll be times I'll be running good, man, I'm running up there cushion sideways, and there'll be a guy just slam right into you. So, but it's still fun. I think it provides people a great opportunity to see some of their, hopefully I can bring a couple drag race fans, say, hey, look, there's Cruz, there's Ron, and really show that, hey, we're serious about this. We're not just doing it. We're doing it for fun, but we're also pretty serious about it.
Well, yes. There's a bunch of stuff going on there. Like, I've been keeping my eye on it. And there's got to be something about, like, oh, I don't want to get beat by the drag racer. Like, this is what I do.
That's exactly right.
I don't want to get beat by someone that just goes straight, which is obviously totally wrong, but there's got to be some of that going on. I have no doubt.
Yes. There's times that I'll get spun out, and it's like, really? Did you really need that position that bad? And it's like they want to run through you. It's like, dude, when you get behind someone, you roll out, there is a break. But anyway, I think everybody I get wound up when I get on there, and you get on, you kind of get your elbows up, as they say. But it's a domino effect. Like, we were watching the other day, there was two or three of us in a pack. One guy got slightly spun. He came down, then the other guy reacted. Pretty soon it was a big pileup. So, but at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at our qualifying laps, myself and Ron included, we're pretty competitive. We're not, if you look at the lineup, there's probably 30, 40 cars sometimes. We're right in the middle. In fact, we're just a few tenths off of where the top guys are. So I think we're holding up our end of the bargain pretty well. But it's fun, like I said, and I do have the 100th anniversary Snap-on logo on the car. So naturally I want to get as much exposure for them as possible. But I also feel like, we're representing I've always said this, Joe, is that there was a guy named Danny Ungayas that goes way back several years, a Hawaiian gentleman that worked his way from, drag racing, and he rolled all the way to IndyCar. And I always admired that about him. And he had a little darker skin like me, so he was a really a guy that I felt wasn't the normal guy. He was from Hawaii and all that. So I really felt like patterning. There's a little tiny bit of me that wants to pattern myself. I'll maybe not get to the Indy 500 for real. Maybe on iRacing. But I always felt like, you know, drag racers, there's some drivers, just because we chose a career path to go straight doesn't mean we can't turn corners and really have the depth perception and the skill to really handle one of these. And Ron proves it too. I admire Ron. Ron is a, we race, you had showed a picture of the Prelude, you know, where we race for real. And Ron, I mean, that sucker will get out there and wheel them cars just like me. So it's been a good rivalry between us too.
You mentioned Danny on Guys, Danny on the Gas, right? A legend. Yep, I remember being a little kid. There was a time where there was all this cross-pollination in motorsports because you wanted to be around it. And now we have the era of specialists, but because you want to be the best at your business, you want to, you know, you got to specialize. But then again, like maybe this is changing it. But he didn't look anything like that, though, did he?
You know, I saw him try to grow a mustache at one point. But, you know, I remember that picture.
Look at that guy.
The great John Asher. Yes. Asked me to pose like that. John Asher, the one and only John Asher. So he hands me out of his pocket, he hands me his little handkerchief, and I look at it like, man, I hope this thing doesn't have anything on it. So he says, act like you're, because I didn't know what to do, right? I'm this rookie kid. This is at Phoenix testing, debut test, McDonald's car, or my rookie year. So I'm looking at it, and I start to wipe, and I look up, and he snaps that picture. It's a really cool picture looking back on it. And we miss John, you know, God rest. He passed several years back. But that picture has been – that mustache, their porn stash, as people like to call
yes, it.
I don't know. We tried growing them back the other day, but I can't quite get the cool-looking mustache. I get this kind of bristly things and stuff's going all which way. So I don't know.
I don't know, man. I think John Asher might still be alive, Cruz. I don't know.
No, it wasn't John Asher. No, not John Asher.
Sorry, Asher. We didn't want to.
Not John Asher. What's the woman from National Drags who just retired? It was her boyfriend,
Teresa.
Her husband. Remember?
Teresa.
Teresa. What was her?
Teresa Long.
Yes. Anyway,
well,
great guy.
It'll come up in the comment.
It'll come up to me, not John Asher. I had him.
Well, I just didn't want to bury poor John. He's out there writing all kinds of stuff on Comp Plus already. Now, we got some people weighing in on a couple of things. They want to ask you some questions. I got some more pictures. We've got to keep it moving. Like Eli, just checking in from Ernest and Eli in San Marcos, Texas. So you got fans out there that are stoked.
Oh, yeah, Eli. Yeah, I know Eli.
There it is.
I haven't talked to – yeah.
How's my man,
what's
Eli?
Up, Eli?
What's up, Eli? Bobby Graham wants to know about the truck driving competition that you did a couple of years ago. Remember you won that deal, the truck driving competition? Obviously, nobody's doing anything right now. But you really proved some things to some people with that.
Well, I've won a couple of truck driving competitions. There was one when I was like 18
Les
years Lovett. Old.
It was Les Lovett. Was it Les?
Les Lovett.
Bang.
Les Lovett.
Thank you, Warren.
Love Les Lovett. Yeah. Famous photographer from the 60s and 70s. Sorry, John. Les Lovett. Equally as great an established pioneer photographer in drag racing. So there you go. So the truck driving thing, I grew up literally in a truck lot. And I've always been a hell of a truck driver, man. I could wheel me a truck and back them suckers in between. So I put out there any challenge from any driver that wants to challenge me in a backing contest. I can back doubles. I can back any length of trailer, and I'll put that sucker on a dime. And so the opportunity came up to enter this contest, and I won first place. So, but I've been in a little lot of practice. A few years ago, they had Flying J had a little contest, and I entered like two of them, and I didn't win, but I came close. So, like to do that again. That's always fun. But I'm a truck driving fool, Joe.
I think that's a skill that is great, and the idea that you are out of practice only makes sense a little bit. All right, let's talk about some other things. Like for instance, see what we got here. This is your shop, right? You got a new look. You're breaking out the new look, and we're obviously stalled out again. Now, Glenn Cromwell recently did a column or an article or an interview with folks at NBC. And he seemed very optimistic that we'll be back and we'll be back with fans and all of that. I am just sitting back and reserving judgment on all of this stuff. NASCAR, for those that don't know, has just announced, in fact, they got a press conference going on pretty much right now, that they will be racing in Darlington mid-May. They're going racing, but without fans. What do you think about all this, Cruz? Like, you got to have fan interaction to make it worthwhile for sponsors, but at the same time, like, if we can't have that, I don't know. Have you put any thought into this? I mean, I'm sure most of all, you want everybody to see your ride. You want to get a chance to win races. What is your opinion about where we're at?
Yeah, it's a tough thing. I mean, I was talking to Nick and Eric the other day, and we were talking for probably 30 minutes and a bunch of hypotheticals, a bunch of what ifs. And I found myself going, wait a minute, why are we even... There's so many scenarios, and I think the world has to get right. And as soon as it goes way beyond what racers want. So I feel a little bit awkward talking about it,
sure.
Joe. I just know that we're going to be prepared. And I know the NHRA has to balance doing what's right financially. They have bills to pay and people to pay. And so I really try not to talk too much on that because I really don't have all the information in front of me. I just know that we want to get back to racing. We're ready to go. Our guys, we're just going to put an order in for more pistons, rods, and some of the consumables, clutch discs, so we can build an inventory that if we have to go 15 races in a row, which they've asked us, hey, we're ready to go, guys. So I know Snap-on wants to see us out there, Powers, solar panels, some of our Petrov, you know, Dodge, obviously our sponsors, want to see us out there. But, you know, for me to sit here as a driver in Brownsburg that does a little iRacing, for me to make any comments beyond that, I just don't know. But we're ready to go. That's all I know.
Well, that's good. And we don't know what's coming down the pike. And that's my situation as well. Like, as I read these stories, I'm like, oh, okay. And yeah. Hopeful. But just kind of sitting back waiting for things to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, though, the thing that we can agree on is that if the opportunity presented itself, to, like if you were to ask me, hey, Cruz, would you like to race and be on TV and race, you know, with no fans versus race? If we can't race without fans, we're not going to race until such time. I'm a racer. I'd rather say, hey, let's race even if it's on TV because we're going to bring the TV on TV to the fan, and our sponsors would like that. I look at the truck and trailer and all equipment sitting here. I should say plural, trucks and trailers sitting here, and I think, you know, we need to be on TV regardless whether there's fans or not. Of course we want the fans. We love the interaction and the closeness we have to offer, but, you know, that's going to come when it comes. And I know, like I said, we're kind of bored. I don't know what I'd be doing if it wasn't for iRacing calling me up and asking me to do this because I have my daughter and I spend time with her. My girlfriend Melissa's been out here from California. So I've been busy, but, race team wise, we were, as you all know, we were ready to go to Gainesville. So we had made a U-turn, came back. So we're not really doing a lot. We have cleaned up the shop. We've been organizing the shop and we're getting our show car put together. We're actually building a current show car that starts. And then we're going to work on the California Charger in case we can slip in some races or some testing before we go back
okay,
racing.
Okay, what about that? I was told, I will not reveal who told me this, but that we gotta lean on you a little bit. We need to see this car run a little more. First of all, it went all the way to the Middle East. What were you doing with it over there? Hopefully you weren't like trying to sell this thing. This thing is a work of art, and I have a personal story in that when you completed this, it was after the U.S. Nationals, and you're like really kind to me, like, hey, what are you doing? And come see the car. And I did, and I was blown away. Like, this body funny car is my favorite of all funny car bodies ever, because this right here is my personal car. Like, that's what we still have,
no
me
way.
And my dad. Yeah, and that is our
car.
Awesome. So the California Charger is the real deal. Being in South Florida, we never get to see nostalgia funny cars run, but man, that thing is spectacular. What is your plan for it? And you weren't trying to sell that thing now, were you?
Joe, first of all, that means a lot coming from you. I value you're a historian, you're a drag racer, and I love that you think a lot of the Charger. It means a lot to me.
Absolutely.
We had an opportunity to display the car over in the Middle East at a huge car show. So we were compensated for it. We took it down there, and they asked, by the way, if you want to sell it. I said, sure. My dad taught me everything I own's for sale for the right price. Put a pretty high price on it. Thought, I don't really want to sell it, but you can always build another one. But lo and behold, it didn't sell. Neither did none of the cars that were there sold. So we brought it back, and it's here. But something happened, Joe, since that time. We got Eric and Nick in here with some of my, team, Chuck and some of the guys. They said, hey, we really want to be a part of that. Would you allow us to? I've never had people ask me that before. Usually it's, hey, I got to wave $100 bills to get them to come work on it. So this crew that I have, the team, I don't like to call them crew, they're the team. They're all about it. They want to run the Charger. So I have to keep them away from it, if anything. But so we're going to try to not try. We're going to run it at IRP as soon as the weather allows us and we're able time wise. But we've gone through it front to back. It's ready to go. I have a new rear end in it that I've never run, a new blower. So yeah, the California Charger will run again. And I don't know about the Hot Rod Reunion in Bakersfield, but if it's on, we'll be there.
Awesome.
Time permitting.
Awesome. Gypsy says the hospitality's ready to rock, by the way. He says that you guys are ready to go.
Gypsy's been great. Yeah, Gypsy's been great. He works. He's the first hospitality team, and I've loved all my hospitality teams. I got to bring this up. He actually works with the team in the shop, and the trucks park right inside. So it's really cool that Gypsy, was part of the team. He's like one of the guys. So it's very cool.
Love Gypsy. Gypsy has given me the nickname the Pied Piper because I go walking through the pits with all these people following me. But I appreciate he bothers to give me a nickname, which is
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's it. It's just it's nice to be Piper.
Yeah, he's the one man. I call him the one man party. He's got this little saying that my daughter loves. He'll say, "Wow, what a rush!" right after the car gets started. So he kind of gets everybody fired up. So very cool. He's a character. He's a funny guy.
He is a character. The sport is full of characters. We have characters everywhere. Let's talk about another character. Someone that you. You referenced Larry Miner a little bit earlier and Lee Beard. And earlier this year, in fact, right before the Gator Nationals on Thursday, I was fortunate to be able to host MC Big Daddy Don Garlitz International Drag Racing Hall of Fame induction, where Larry Miner and Lee Beard went into the deal. And so I got to hear all these great stories about these early times and those times. And I just think about how... that kind of made your career, and in particular, a fight for a championship against a certain 16-time champ. Like that season, the battle, the high-profile nature, and the way that you guys completed that year to win that title, and how far you've come. You won another one, and just when you look back and you think about that season, what sticks out in your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to say what an honor it was for me to be invited by the Larry Miner family to be a part of his induction at the International Hall of Fame. And Joe, you did a great job emceeing the thing. Lee Beard was there. It was awesome that the two at the same time were inducted. Two very pivotal people in my career. And so that year would have not happened had it not. I mean, obviously, Larry was a great owner. He hired Lee. He saw Lee as a guy that could run a dragster. Didn't have any thoughts about a funny car, I'm sure. So it was unique and weird and strange that year that four races into the season, Larry parted ways with his then crew chief, Bernie Federley, who went on to work for John Force. Well, we had blown up a few engines. So Larry had gone over to Lee and said, hey, Lee, can you help these guys out? This was at the Houston race, which is like four races into the 1992 season. John Force had the record at 515. Think about it, 515. Austin Coyle, they had just won two championships in a row, 90-91. And here comes what was Ed McCullough's old Miller car, Otter Pop's car, and with this Hispanic kid from California driving it. And so Lee put the motor in, his top fuel motor and clutch combination in our funny car, and we made history the next day. And so I always have had this fondness for Lee, and Lee's, he's worked for me, but he's never my crew chief in those days. He was always the Corey Mack crew chief. So long story short, not only did we win the championship, but we set the national record from 515 to 510. Think about it, Joe.
Yeah.
That's 500s is unheard of. We didn't knock it down by a little bit and basically blew those guys out of the water. We were fumbling around through the summer and got it together and won five in a row. And it was because of that Lee Beard engine combination, that Gary Ormsby car that he developed, that engine, the heads, it had dart heads. It was an efficient, badass engine. And Lee was the guy behind the scenes, really, that a lot of people never really knew about it. A lot of other people got credit, and a lot of people worked on it. Jason McCullough was on the team, by the way, Mike Neff. So yeah, Lee, it was great to see. Didn't mean to go too far off track there, but that year was, I think had we been able to hire Lee, let me just put it to you this way.
Sure.
Hey, John Force, I give John all the credit. He deserves it. Austin Coyle will go down as one of the best crew chiefs ever. But I think had we, had I been the owner instead of Larry Miner, I would have hired Lee the very next year and kept Lee on that funny car. And I don't think we would be talking about Force winning all those championships. Wow. Just saying.
Yeah. No, well, exactly. The road not traveled and what might have been. A couple seconds left with you, Cruz. And now we got Alan Pruszynski waiting in the green room as well. You're very thirsty, Cruz. You're very thirsty, guy. You're very thirsty. No, that's fine. I want to remind everybody we're doing Wine Night tomorrow. Ron Tobler, there's somebody I'd love to hear you talk about. Another championship. There was the 1992 championship. It was, I guess, 2008. You've had all kinds of interesting things happen over the years. But was it 2009? But talk a little bit about Ron. Here's a guy who I feel like he's underappreciated as, as one of the greats, even though.
Not by me.
Yeah.
He's the friggin' best. I put him right up there with Lee Beard. He was, let me tell you, he was unemployed, and I saw him walking through the pits. This was in 2000, I believe, 7, maybe even 6. I think it was 7, 6 or 7. And I thought about it. I thought, this guy used to drive Shirley's truck, do all these match races with Shirley's crew chief for a lot of years. I think this guy could tune a funny car. Not only do I think he can, I know he can. So anyway, I couldn't get his attention. So I asked his wife, Ellen, or his, I think it was then girlfriend, Ellen. I said, hey, I text her. I had her number from their Corey Mack days. I said, hey, can you get Ron to meet me in my motorhome? So Ron meets me in my motorhome and he sits down. I'm looking right in his eyes. And I said, hey, Ron, I'd like you to come work for me and be my crew chief. He looks right. He looks left. He goes, hey, Cruz, do you know I've never tuned a funny car in my life? I says, yes, Ron, but you'd be perfect. These things are just like a dragster. Remember, we had winched in a top fuel motor into my car from the Lee Beard. So think about it. He's telling me, well, right. I said, you're perfect. I mean, in my mind, I'm going, I've done this before, dude. This is going to work. And he got not only my car, the operation, the trailer, the equipment in order, looked great. A year and a half later, we're winning the championship. Unfortunately, he went to work for the other guys. It's like a football team. You win a championship, everybody wants to pick your guys away. But anyway, back to Tobler. Great guy. Not only is he a great tuner and crew chief, great human being. You know, people. You know what's weird about people? People say I'm hard to get along with. You know what I tell them? Go ask Ron Tobler if I'm hard to get along with. I guarantee he will not say I'm hard. I'm a good guy. But Ron's a good guy too. So did we have our little battles? Yes. But great guy, great crew chief. Obviously, he's gone on to win another championship with Caps. I would say that he's going to win these races and not cost you a fortune. He's not going to blow up a bunch of stuff. So he does things that a lot of people don't realize, that he's probably going to spend the least and give you the most. So that's a lot of unknown that people don't know about.
That's great. Yes, and everybody make sure to make plans for 4 p.m. tomorrow. We'll have Tobler on because it'll be a cool way to get into a Friday. All right, final question for Cruz. You've been big with the celebs, Cruz. Like, you guys always have the celebs at the track, like Killer Mike and Larry Holmes. And you, like, what is it with the celebs that they all want to come hang with Cruz Pedregon? But you haven't come through the pits on a pretty regular basis, which is great because, you know, our sport is one, like, once you see it, you want to come back over and over again. But getting people to the track for the first time is a challenge. You guys have been able to do it.
You forgot Carlos Santana.
Oh, I didn't know Carlos Santana was at the track. When
Carlos
did that happen?
Santana. Oh, yeah. The man, the myth, the legend. Oh, yeah. You know, it's really, the day we're in an age of social media. So there's interaction there, and my man Caleb Cox, who's been like a brother to me, who is reaching out. He's a sports guy like me. He's a younger guy, but he likes old school boxing, and so he reaches out to some of these people. and we connect, and it works out that way. So I'd love to take all the credit, but I think but I got to give Caleb his just due. But drag racing is on the map. A lot of people know it. A lot of these guys are hot rod guys, so they go, huh, drag racing, sure. Cruz Pedregon, Snap-on, yeah, let's go do this. So it's been really cool. We've had, there's been too many to mention. What's the not The Rock.
Hulk Hogan. Roddy Piper. I'm just yelling out names now.
Hulk Hogan.
Coco Beware. Heart Foundation. Jesse the Body. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, my man. Trip that.
Chunkyard
Goldberg.
Dog.
We've Goldberg. Got Goldberg. Oh, yeah. Goldberg. Big old Goldberg.
You can tell how old I am by the wrestlers that I threw out.
I'm not surprised you didn't say not Dick Dastardly. That was the dude on the Wacky Racers. I thought you were – God, what's the other old
Hacksaw
school
Jim
wrestler's
Duggan.
Name? Huh?
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
No, this guy had a red face. God, what was his name? I keep calling to call Dick Dastardly. I'll think of it right when we're done.
Yes,
but.
Exactly. You can always hit us on the stream. All right, Cruz, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Hey, any final thoughts for the NHRA fans out there watching on the stream, killing a little time, whether now or in the future? What do you got for them?
Well, first of all, I hope everybody's safe and everybody's families are doing well. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's tired of hearing stay home, stay safe. But I think really what I like to see, and there's optimism in the air, the news is showing things are opening little by little. I think it's going to be a step-by-step process to make sure we do the right thing as a country. And just hang in there, guys. We appreciate the support. Drag racing is – even though I do dirt track racing and I do all this other stuff, you know, there's nothing like a friggin' nitro funny car or a dragster. The smell, the sound, those things are amazing. And so we'll be out there soon. The NHRA is doing the right thing. They're going to let people know here. I think we're going to get a schedule maybe on Monday. So let's get ready. Get your just get yourselves ready to go racing soon. It won't be long.
There you go. Joe Morrison thinks it was the hot rod Rowdy Piper. Was it Rowdy Roddy from the movie They Live?
No, it was before him. This dude was from this God, he had a funny name. No shirt having
Haystacks Calhoun.
Huh?
The American Dream. Was it the Dream?
Oh, you know what?
Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. Let me tell you something now, Daddy. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, son of a plumber from Austin, Texas, Daddy. Is it?
Hey, but you know who I really like, though, is I to this day, listen to Macho. I love Macho Man's shtick and his delivery. I like when he talks. Ugh, I like that. I like his eyeballs. I like his glass. He always turns around, too. Goes like this. I love that.
Wrestling.
He always turns his back to you.
We'll talk wrestling. Now, I was going to talk old school hip hop with you because I know you like to rap, but we'll do that another time. Cruz, thank you.
Yes. But I will. Let me say this, Joe. I do have all my songs for the rest of the, I think we're going to do 15 or 16 races. I have all plotted out. Oh, I have some good ones, Joe. Stay tuned.
All right. I love that. And I know Jason Logan is going to be super excited because we've actually taken some ownership of that. Really love it. Cruz, thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you, man.
All right. There he goes. Cruz Pedregon with us here on WFO Radio. Alan Brzezinski is next. And how great is that? Cruz just doing a great job and spending time doing some iRacing, doing some things like that. And, hey, well, before we bring on Alan, I want to mention to you folks out there, WFO Radio stickers. I have since reopened the sticker fund in that if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope to the address on the screen, meaning you have to put an addressed envelope to yourself with postage, so all I have to do is stick these stickers in there and send it back with no cost to me and very little effort. Extremely little effort, which is really what it's all about. I'll send you some WFO Radio stickers and you can display them. I hadn't been doing that for a while because, as you know, I didn't think it was a good idea. It wasn't prudent to do that at the time. Also want to remind you, WFO Radio t-shirts are available at nitrofishracing.com. So pick up your t-shirt, all sizes available at nitrofishracing.com. And it's cool because since we've been doing this show, they have been getting more orders for the t-shirt, which is really cool. And you're keeping all kinds of small business, myself included, in action. All right. Joining us now, our next guest not from Brownsburg, Indiana, from Rockaway, New Jersey, I believe, Mr. Alan Brzezinski, Pro Stock Racer. Alan, How are you?
Not too bad, Joe. How about yourself?
Oh, my gosh. You sound so good. You've got the booming radio voice going. I like it.
Am I too loud for you?
No, you're not too loud for me. I like hearing you talk. All right. Because what people don't realize is that you're a character. But when you're at the track, you're trying to do the NHRA Pro Stock experience with limited resources, limited time, limited crew, and you're doing a lot of different stuff. And so that, like, I'm a Jersey character, kind of funny guy, part of it is taken over by engine builder Alan, racer Alan. But here on our live stream, I think a lot of that is going to come out already. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, what have you been up to?
We've been working pretty much every day, 7 days a week in the shop. You know, just trying to stay a little bit further away from everybody, you know, no hug, you know, let me take one of these out because it's pretty loud.
It is.
You know, I'm not a hugger, you know, I'm not a hugger anyway. I've told you that in the past, but you know, we're doing the best to do what we're supposed to do, I guess. It's hard. You know, you want to get out there and go to the park or whatever you want to do. And we're not allowed to do it. So, especially in New Jersey, it's pretty bad around here.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. In that you're in one of the worldwide hotspots. There's New York, Manhattan, and New Jersey is right there. And you guys are still flaring up. Here in South Florida, Broward County, we were a hotspot too with the cruise ships and the spring breaker photos that everybody saw. That wasn't us, folks. That wasn't the locals. That was the vacationers. But nonetheless, you can't... you know, population density is the story of this. There's 1,000 people per square unit. There's a more likely chance that they're going to spread it than if there's 200 people per square unit. So what has it been like for you, knowing that anybody who hasn't been to New Jersey needs to realize that it's people everywhere, people on top of people on top of people everywhere you go? It's really hard if you're in metropolitan areas. To dodge, you got to keep your business going. You're trying to figure out the best way to stay ahead. It has to be challenging being right in the center of this crisis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really on top of everybody where I live, but you know, probably 5 minutes from where my father, where I grew up, my parents' house. You know, I still have a lot of friends down there. I just heard the other day, you know, 3 or 4 people that I knew, they all got it. You know, and a couple of them died, you know, so it's just, you know, then it really hits home that, okay, this is dangerous. You know, I want to say, well, we're going to be fine. You know, my wife, Christine, you know, she's tough as nails and she's a little nervous about this. She hasn't really left the house. My daughter is pretty tough for a 13-year-old and they haven't left the house. You know, me, I go to the shop. You know, I got one worker, my father's here. So we don't really have a lot of interaction with people. We try to, you know, somebody comes here and we're almost like, what are you doing here? You know, and I'm like, yeah, it's weird, you know? So I don't know what the answer is. I want to say, let's just get out there and race. But then, you know, you hear a story of one of your friends passes and you're like, man, I don't know how we're going to get through this. So hopefully some better news has been coming through the pipeline, obviously the past weeks, you know, a couple weeks, and hopefully we can get back to racing and put this behind us.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the news is it all depends on which news you want to focus on, because there are still people losing family members and still people in hospitals are, you know, coming back off totally overwhelmed, but still very, very busy. A lot of stuff like that. But when it hits.
I got you. I lost you for a little bit, Joe. Sorry about that.
No worries. It's the type of thing where, when you know someone, and in our drag racing community, Bobby Bennett has been very public that he had it and fought it, and it was very devastating. We have an interview in our archive with Bobby where you hear him literally days after he got, you know, he's out of the hospital, but he was still quarantined at home, and he lays it out for anybody that is confused about it. And we also heard a recent Nitro crew chief got it. I don't want to talk about it because that's obviously personal business, but something to be taking seriously. That having been said, we all want to go have fun. We want to race. Racing will be there. It'll come whenever we can. We will. but we'll be doing it a little bit different. But let's turn our attention. First of all, everybody is piling on. They say the guy Cruz was trying to think of was Ric Flair. It can't possibly have been Ric Flair, everybody, because he would have known that. Woo! Like, come on, how does he not be able to pull up Ric Flair? And why didn't I come up with Ric Flair? Because I was trying to come up with every obscure other wrestler. Did you watch wrestling?
About the Sheik.
The Iron Sheik. Do you know the Iron Sheik has got a Twitter account where he still does his act? All on Twitter.
One day, I was driving to my parents' house, probably about 20 years ago, and the Sheik was helping somebody move out of their house. I said, that's the Sheik. You know, and my father goes, who's the Sheik? I said, ah, forget it.
The Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik was way ahead of his time. Like, he was, you know, he's a very difficult person. All right, let's talk about... It always devolves.
He was the Sheik. I don't know. Looked like the Sheik.
Yeah, no, the Iron Sheik, man. It's definitely. I have a story like that, except the guy I was driving by was Daryl Strawberry. And I was like, stop the car. And they're like, why? It's like, because I think I just saw Daryl Strawberry on the side of the road. And we backed up, and it was Daryl. So it was a big deal. All right, let's talk about how you got started in this deal. Drag racing, New Jersey. So E-Town's got to be a sad thing. Was that your nearest closest track? And was this your first and original race car, or did you have something before that?
Nah, I drove that around, delivered pizzas in it, and then eventually turned it into a race car. That thing was a killer at Englishtown on a Sunday.
Really? Like no, bracket racing, class style racing? What were you? I see a dialing on there.
Yeah, heavy. We'd race foot brake, you know,
yeah, with heavy. That car.
We won a lot of races down there. Island Dragway is probably the closest track to me. So okay. We'd be at Island Saturday, Englishtown Sunday, and then ACCO was also, you know, pretty popular for us back then.
To me, it's important that people understand that pro stock, maybe not every case, but many cases, is the ultimate goal for guys who start out in cars like this. It is certainly the case for me with my bracket racing. It's like I never visualize myself in a nitro car. I don't know why, I just didn't. But a pro stock car seemed real and attainable. Driving the car, pulling the lightning rods, that kind of deal. So when this was you, what year was this? Were you thinking, like, was pro stock on your radar?
No, it was, we watched it, you know, obviously, probably, you know, Daryl Alderman was probably who I rooted for the most, but, you know, to dream that I could race pro stock when I was driving that car, you know, was, you know, like when you're playing little league baseball and think you're going to play for the Yankees, you know?
Right. Bottom of the ninth.
You know, obviously I could have dreamed to do it, but to actually do it is, you know, a little bit different, I guess.
And you're doing it, and you're scrappy in the way that you're doing it. Like, I remember you coming out and initially you were, you know, just trying to make the qualifying sessions. People don't realize how difficult that is to arrive at the track, to be on time for the schedule.
Sure.
Go down the track. Like, that alone for someone is challenging. And then you have developed. What has it been like to go through that process?
Yeah, I mean, we've been to almost 100 races in 5 years. And I probably maybe missed two or three sessions. I can't even remember. Might not have been that many. So, you know, I bought Hartford's deal thinking I was going to go to five races and say I did it. You know, that's kind of, I didn't really plan on being a pro stock racer. We went to 48 races in a row at one point.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just, I don't know what else to do now. You know, my wife is actually the one that always said, we got to do something different. And then now we're not racing. And she's like, man, we got to go racing, you know? So she's turned the corner, I guess. This is what we do. You know, I mean, I don't know how long we can do it for. I mean, for the future, we're good. You know, next year, following year. I mean, maybe I do it for 25 years. I don't know. But this is my sixth season. So it's been longer than we ever expected to do it.
Dave wants to know, first of all, he just says excited that you're flying the Mopar flag. And this season you got your own engine, you got Mopar Power back under the hood. And after experimenting and learning, and I think that was very interesting to watch you put some other power under the hood to kind of sort out where you were And I would imagine that was a learning experience.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I put the Elite, the first step was I put in an Elite engine. Richard has always been unbelievable to me. Them guys at Elite, I mean, I don't know why, but they've always been more than helpful. So I said, I need an engine. I'm just worn out. And he's like, yeah, just we'll roll one over at Maple Grove. I put it in there. You know, it took a little while to get going, but by the time I got to Vegas and Pomona, I mean, you knew how much power they have, you know. So, but in the end, for me to stay out here for the next 10 years, it's too expensive to rent from them guys. And I'm an engine guy. So it's kind of like, you know, you're not good enough to build engines and now you got to rent an engine, you know. I mean, so that part of it too. And I'm not a, no offense to Chevy guys, I'm just not, you know, I mean. I'm a guy, you know,
I totally get it. I totally get it. Let's look at some of your other machines out here. Perfect example.
That thing will sound.
Yeah, that's it.
That's awesome. So, you know, the rent and deal. And then, you know, me and Kenny Delco are kind of, I don't know if you want to say teammates, but we're best friends and we work together a lot of times. And Frank Iaconio and me are always on the phone. We're always brainstorming and trying to get better. That's our goal, obviously. So at times I would have Kenny's motor in there if we were trying something, you know, and I want to run my own engines. Really, out of the 100 races I've been to, 80 of them have had my engine in there, Mopar engine. So maybe even a little bit more. So, and that's what I want to do. That's what I wake up for in the morning to come here to my shop, sitting in front of my dyno and work on my stuff. That's what gets me motivated. You have to have tremendous motivation to get on the road and run around to all these races. So if you're not into what you're working on or what you're driving, well, that's, you know, the end result isn't going to be very good.
Right. Exactly. Tell me about this car, this Dart.
And so that was my friend. He had a blower in there and he would go like 7-0s years ago. Chris Russo is his name. He raced some pro mod stuff and we thought it would be cool just to put a naturally aspirated motor in there and go race Super Pro at Englishtown. I should have won the championship at Englishtown in 2000 in that thing and ended up number two. So
that's a drag race story.
I had it sewn up and I broke the motor and I couldn't get a car. I couldn't get a car. Six rounds up on the championship with 5 points days left to go. I lost it by one round.
That is horrible. What do you mean? No one would lend you terrible. A car, let you tech in?
I got a car for my friend. His transmission was broke. That weekend was done. So it was endless. By the time the last weekend got going, I finally got a car that was worth a quarter. And I went like four rounds. And this guy called Tommy Spangler went like five rounds. I lost it by one round. So
that's horrible. That's a horrible story. Yeah. I have
It stunk. Yeah. I wanted to win that championship in that door car because at Englishtown, there was so many dragsters. And to actually be a door car, number one in points, win the championship, that would have been cool. But I actually got sort of a championship in my red Charger at Englishtown. I don't know if you ever heard of Jim Harrington.
Yes.
He had a dragster. He used to beat up on all our door cars, but I was number two with a door car. So actually I was the champion. That dragster and heavy was bullshit.
Yeah, well, I'm against it. That's right. I don't care if you're off the bottom. That's changed a little bit in bracket racing. That's one of the elements that kind of made me lose a little interest, among many, many other things. But this is my personal career. I showed Cruz, I'm showing you, because bracket racing is a big part of my background. And I love it and chase some track championships and, you know, had parts failures that knock you out of points. But when the gamesmanship of, like, bringing cars that are against the spirit of the rules into a category, it's happening now in Super Street. Like, you'll see a Super Gas Roadster with 600 pounds of weight running Super Street 1090 category. I am very against that on a regular basis.
Well, you know what rules are for us to break them, right?
They're made,
unfortunately.
They're made to be broken. All right, so you got another car that you sent a photo of, which I think is pretty cool. Excuse me. This is the one that pretty much unlocked the door to Pro Stock. Once you started going fast, you're like, oh, fast. Fast as fuck.
Yeah, that kind of had like a weird Chrysler motor and the only naturally aspirated car that was going in the sixes back then, you know, was that one, you know, so it was pretty cool. I would go 690s with it. It had kind of like a pro stock head, Dodge head on a billet block, and kind of got me the feel of working on this kind of engine, you know, and I'm like, I did pretty good with it. You know, I first national event I went to was the four wide in 2012, and I ended up runnering up. Never got to race the final because of a brake line, right? You get there. I raced Peter Biondo in the semis. I went against him. I'm like, yeah, like, you know, I had a tough competitor in the final, but you're thinking, all right, today's my day, right? Go up there, pump the brakes. I got pedal goes to the floor. Do a burnout. I back up and I'm like, should I go? This is how stupid, right? Us racers. I see a puddle out there, a brake fluid. Nobody sees. I'm like, well, maybe I can straddle it and, you know, throw the chutes. I'll be all right, I think. Yeah, I decided, you know what? I'll race him another day.
Smart, smart play. Yes, you can think the thought. All right, we got some people out there. Rob Tucker out there watching. What's up, Rob? Says, hey, big girl. And
that's my new buddy.
He says, you're not quitting. Like, even if you want to, you can't.
Nah, no.
You're in this for life. It's like a gang. Pro stock is like a gang. You're in for life now.
I don't know. It's definitely, we don't know what else to do. If I found something more fun and cheaper, I might do it. I might quit. But I don't think I'm going to do that. So
he wants me to ask you, can we make 1500?
I don't know.
What's he talking about? Horsepower?
Horsepower.
He's talking about 1500. What is it about the Dodge engines? I talked to Warren Johnson about this very specifically, and he said that he thinks that the parts are really good. It's just that the limited number of people pushing what's possible is the challenge, that with the Chevy stuff, you got all these people constantly working and evolving and doing and building and making, whereas with the Chrysler stuff, you have very limited people pushing it. And so all the possible combinations of what may or may not work aren't being tried as rapidly. What have you found?
Well, I always say you can't judge a Dodge Pro Stock car on me. Obviously, I do the best I can. I work hard on it. But, you know, I don't have, here's my shelves here. There's not many parts on it. You know, if I buy something, I got to use it. You know what I mean? Where maybe a big team, you know, they can afford to try 10 manifolds. We've heard 100 manifolds. I don't know, maybe 20 different style pistons. You want to try something different. I'm always, you know, I don't want to cry I'm broke, but, you know, in the end, I can't waste hundreds of thousands of dollars on this. I don't have that kind of budget. So we do the best we can. We spend the money where we think it's the most important, you know, and that's really it. We can't judge a Dodge Pro Stock motor on me.
Right.
You know, if we gave it to somebody that had an endless budget, there is no doubt it would be competitive every weekend winning races. I can promise you that. It's, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I feel, you know, I'm pretty happy about the improvements I made over the winter. You were even asking at Phoenix, did I have my own motor in there?
Yeah. No, you made moves.
You know, I can run pretty good now. And if I went from that day to today, I wouldn't even go racing with that much power that I went racing on Phoenix. So we're working on it harder than we've ever worked on it before, because we literally got our butts whooped last year. I mean, I'll be honest.
Well, last year was a very tough year for you in a couple of ways. In fact, you also you had an incident, but that's where we see what's, you know, who's real. And forget me, you know, me saying that, because I'm just an announcer guy and I get to show up and I have to worry about paying for equipment or going on my lid. But when you showed up immediately, right after, like, you never missed a beat. I think you, if there were people who weren't aware of your determination, they understood after that you had put together a plan. You were going to run two cars. The Top Coat guys were pretty much just coming on board. And
that was the weekend.
And I know that because I know the Top Coat guys as well. And I want you to talk about them. And like this moment, in fact, like when you go on your lid and the determination that you showed, I think that's what made them want to come back with you. That's the kind of people they want to be involved with. They got a car care product. It's actually super cool. And they want real people that are driven. And I think that's what like sealed that relationship. But you tell me about that incident and what drove you to get right back as fast as possible.
Well, I mean, that's all. I've done this since 1993. I haven't raced pro stunts since 1993, but you know, every weekend I'd be at the racetrack, break my motor, come home, say I quit Monday morning, Monday night, work on it. And I'd be right back at the racetrack. So that's kind of my stupidity, I guess. I wish I could quit or do something different, but this is what I love to do. So it's not that hard. You know, I'm lucky I walked away from that. I could have very easily been injured for life. You know, I'm in pain still to this day. I mean, it's 6 months, you know, but you know, it could have been so much worse. It's nobody's fault but myself. Thank God I didn't hit Chris McGahey or hurt him. I'll heal. I'll move on. I'll forget about it. It doesn't even bother me. I don't even really think about it much. People bring it up and I'm like, you know, it's just, I don't even think about it. I watched the video over and over again. I'm like, tell my wife, I was like, Chris, I think I was out by that time because my hands look like they're flying around in there. So she's like, why are you watching that again? You know, so my daughter laughs at me, too. She wants me to take down the picture on my Facebook page. I think it's an awesome picture with the flames behind the car crashing. So behind us now. And the Top Coat guys were that weekend. We signed them up to go on the car. It was like crazy. And then so, you know, they call me up and they said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'll be in Dallas in 2 weeks. He said, how are you going to do that? The owner of Top Coat has a back injury, so, and it must be much worse than me because he's, you know, he's in a lot more pain and he can't really, he's just got more damage maybe than me. He's like, how are you going to go there with a broken back? And I said, I'm going to go. I laid in bed till Houston and it was Dallas, I think. And laid in bed till that Friday and got on a plane and went there. You know, when you're working and you're doing stuff, you're not thinking about it. I'm fine here at work. And then, you know, you get in the car and by the time I get home and I'm like an old guy getting out of the truck, you know? So that's kind of it. Thank God they stayed on because they gave us the ability now to work on this thing 100% of the time. Instead of trying to run a business to get the money to race, they given me the opportunity to work over the winter. And man, we burned up 150 gallons, maybe 200 gallons of race fuel. I am looking at the dyno sheet behind me. I'll turn it around so you can see the dyno before I get off of it. But we've been there 7 days a week and just burning fuel. I mean, that's it. Just trying anything that we possibly can try. And we feel it paid off. You know, we definitely feel it paid off. A new guy showed up in my shop in probably December, John Olson. And he just gave me the little boost that I needed. You know, he's 30 years old and he loves pro stock. He just wants to work 7 days a week on this thing. And, you know, he comes in here 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Showed up.
And he don't leave. He just showed up. I needed a worker. I put an ad on Facebook. He showed up. And thank God he did because he gave me the boost that I needed. And between him, me, my wife, my father, my daughter, we do the best that we can. You know, that's really where it's at.
Well, I think it's a tremendous story. And Christine's actually on there and she wants you to move over so we could see the car. That's it. That's what she says. She says, let's see the car, which I agree. There it is.
There's the car sitting there.
Oh, I like it. That's got to be very frustrating.
I'll turn it around real quick and show you what I look at every day at work.
Oh, there you go. What is your, okay, you mentioned you're doing this full time, right? Like finding horsepower, but your business though, what are you building engines for other than pro stock cars?
Yeah, you know, if somebody shows up, yesterday or day before I had on Facebook, I put this engine on there, killer. If you look on there, it's a flathead Ford. I couldn't believe how many people went nuts for this flathead. It took me 2 days to get the thing to run right on the dyno. I'm like, I don't even know if I should be dynoing this thing, but what else? That's all we do is we dyno things, right? So we had three carburetors on it. Wouldn't it run? My dad, who, you know, we kind of make fun of, and he's a little older, and he's a hard worker, but we all kind of like, you know, dig him a little bit. He goes, why don't you take the two carburetors off, just run it on one? I'm like, Dad, shut up. You know what you're talking about. He's out of here.
He's right.
Well, we took the two carburetors off, and then it finally started running. So I told him, I said, if we ever get any flatheads in here, he's the guy. He's going to work on them.
Old stuff. Old guys know about old stuff. Everybody needs to remember. I learned a long time ago that just listen to my dad because he's right. Like, he's right. How's he always right? He's always right. Mark Caruso's out there. He says, my back hurt worse just watching your wreck. You're in a club, right? There's an elite club that nobody wants to join out there in pro stock. And, you watch sports like NASCAR and crashing is a big part of it. But drag racing, crashing is really not something anybody ever wants to see. It represents damage to, obviously, lots of equipment, lots of money financially, but a person. I learned that once when V crashed and I was down in the shutdown area doing my job. And just the reaction of the pro stock family around me, like I knew it was serious, but like the reaction was just so heartfelt and intense, and watching you go through that, Kenny, obviously, lately has been tough, but pro stock is, it's like this weird, it's like this very tight, and door slammers in particular, tight-knit family where nobody wants to see any equipment get torn up.
No, you never think it's going to happen to you either. You know, and Kenny, me and my wife were on vacation that weekend, Kenny crashed, and we're watching it live on our phones driving back from dinner, and all of a sudden he crashes, and it's, you know, I seen him hop out of the car quick. So, you know, you're excited. You don't care about the car. And, so in the end, but when it happens to you, you're like, when it happened to Kenny, and then basically the same crash. I mean, if you watch yes. both of them, it could have been the same crash and him being lighter, I think is the problem. Me being heavier, I think is why I never could really figure out why I broke my back, because you would think I'd have to crash down. I never really looked like I crashed down. It looked like it just went forward. But, you know, I would think probably the weight of me is what cracked my back, you know. So, but for us both, I have the same. I'm all muscle.
You're all muscle. All right, Alan, I appreciate you coming on the show and the fact that you're doing a good job, top coat, and you're trying to get out there. We all want to get out there whenever it is.
The sponsor deal, remember, there's other people that help me. Topco is definitely a big hand, but also Diamond Pistons and E-Car Mover still, after 3-4 years, they're still behind me too. So there's other people that go that help us out. So we want to definitely get their name out there too.
I think that's great. So before we let you go, since you've already shown that your device is mobile, let's do something a little on the edge. And why don't you show us into the cockpit of your race car, if you can. Just walk us over there. If we lose contact, we'll just say goodbye right now. But show us around a little bit. Maybe we won't lose contact. Maybe it'll be great. Maybe just as he opens the door, folks, we'll lose contact. But let's see. Here we go. NHRA Pro Stock, tell us.
Well, Alex gives you how to drive these things. I never figured out how to drive it, so I can't give one of them videos, but that's kind of the steering wheel, right? And no transmission or engine or anything like that. So it's just been sitting here waiting to get the call. And I'll show you this is one engine that we just had off the dyno last week.
Oh, look at this. We're seeing cylinder ports, folks, because there's no other Dodges out there. He doesn't care.
Nobody's going to care.
Those are huge. Nobody knows.
And there's another one waiting to get back together.
All right. Can we see?
So we should have three engines ready to go. That's what we're hoping for. And then I'll show you inside the dyno room.
Well, wait, can we see down into the cylinder port? Why not? Let's see right down into there, into that intake port. Yes. Get closer. Get a little closer. Get us right down. Right in there, man. Let's get right in there. Look at that. That is cool.
Can you see it?
Yes. We see very well.
Let me know if I'm doing anything wrong here.
You're doing it right. I will be the first to tell you if you're making a big mistake. All right. Now, where are we going next?
We're inside the
where's the
dyno room. So there's no engine of it, obviously, but we mount the engine to this cart. It's kind of hard to see what you're seeing. But
yeah, I know. You're doing good, doing real well. Keep going.
We mount the engine to this cart, and then we roll it in. We lock it to the bell housing just like what's in a car. We bolt the headers up, the water pump. This is the water return. Put the manifold on it and make some pulls to 10,000. If we're trying to figure out some things above there, we might run it a little further. This is where we assemble the engines. My shop isn't very big, so it's a little, this isn't K KB here, or
this is not so, okay. I've been to KB. I'm one of the very rare individuals who have seen the inside of KB, and I can confirm for you, Alan, that this is not KB. But it's okay, right, though.
We'll keep it clean. No, it's pretty clean in here, spotless. So a couple engines we're working on for some customers while we're waiting for parts for ours. This is the magic. This is the hone.
Yeah, that is the magic. We learned that with Kenny Delco's car. Wow.
You'd be surprised.
Wow.
That all is speculation.
Oh. I like it.
No. Frank Iaconio can hone just as good as anybody.
Well, I love Frank. And one of my big disappointments.
Let me show you the biggest thing in my shop. This is where I park my truck and trailer.
All right.
And my beautiful daughter always says to me that I never bring her up in any of my videos or my interviews. But today I am, because she's taken over my truck spot with her softball pitching.
There it is.
So this is where my truck and trailer is supposed to be.
The important stuff.
But the pitching lane is in here instead. Sacrifices we make, right, for our kids.
Yes. I think
so.
It is
I hope, Natalie, if you're watching, I love you, and you're a big part of this for me. So I hope she's excited that I actually remembered to bring her name up. So
there it is, Scott.
I think that's the walkthrough of the small shop that we have here that we spend a lot of hours in.
Alan, you did a great job. I think that was unrehearsed. It was absolutely perfect. There's a lot of shop tours going on right now. That was impromptu. I appreciate it. I appreciate, like Scott says, it's engine porn is what it is. Like, we got to see down into the intake runner of a Pro Stock cylinder head. Like, who gets to do that regardless?
That engine this year is going to surprise a lot of people. Maybe I can shut these people up on the internet that say Dodge can't run, because we see some amazing things on the dyno. Now we just got to see it on the racetrack. So we're really excited to get back out there. Obviously, everybody else is too. So that goes without saying.
Any final thoughts for everybody out there watching on Facebook, YouTube, or otherwise?
Just, I hope to see you soon at a racetrack. I mean, that's all we're just dying to get back out there, but hopefully we can all do it safely.
So true. Alan, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on WFO Radio. And, you know, what you're doing, because that's what Pro Stock needs. It needs people who take the leap and get into it and figure it out. And I think you're doing a good job.
We got enough people for right now. We're okay right now.
Yeah, all right. We're good. We're good. I get it.
We're good right now.
All right, Alan.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
There
good
he goes.
Talking to you guys.
Yes. Thank
See
you.
See you later.
There he goes. All Alan Przinski with us here on WFO Radio. How about that? What a great... great story. Alan, very positive individual, funny character, New Jersey funny, and that he's a ball buster, right? Which is great. And I'd love to see them doing well and moving forward. Might get some learning in. Exactly. All right, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, we're doing the Wine Night with Ron Capps, Ron Tobler. It's our version of Friday Cocktails, except a little different. I'll be sipping some vino, as will Tobler. You can bring whatever you want. The Wine Night has become a very popular thing out at the races, but Friday Cocktails has become very popular on WFO. Now, we do have a couple of minutes. Look at this. See, now that he's gone, what is the name of the builder and the shop? Well, Alan Przinski, ARC is what it is. Good luck, buddy. Love the Mopar, says the Beast, who's watching on Twitch. We have a Twitch viewer. Oh, my goodness. It's incredible. Yeah, everybody's talking about Twitch, right? So I started, I'll stream Twitch. I don't care. I'll do it. And the first guy is like someone from Turkey, and he doesn't even, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. I'm speaking too fast. All of those things. But we encourage you to do many things at this point in the show. Like, for instance, WFO Radio is brought to you by some great sponsors, one of which is Total Seal Piston Rings. They're the leader in ring seal technology. Of course, I should have just asked Alan, like, hey, do you use Total Seal? We got a brand new podcast with John Causey. Speaking of engine masters, the show is called, the podcast is called Hidden Horsepower by Total Seal. John Causey, the guest, going to talk a lot about what's going on. Also, samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Your next generation. The people who want to do what Alan's doing, like, he seems pretty happy to me going into work, working on engines as a machinist, as those skills are developed at samtech.edu. So check them out. Marvin Rodak, Rodak's Coffee. Look at this. I brought some Rodak's Coffee, the WFO Radio special blend, into the studio. And doing what I'm doing right now is very hard because you can smell it. And I've already had 11 cups of coffee today, which is right near the limit. But anyway, Marvin roasts this. The second you call and order it, he begins the roasting process. And this is the WFO radio blend, but there are other blends in it. It's great. Oh, so amazing. 817, what is it? 924-6821. Call Marvin, and he's got some really cool things, WFO stickers and whatnot, to put in the bag if you end up with a little road axe. There's Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the Dragster Adventure. You could get your license, per se, down there, but the Dragster Adventure is really what it's all about. And then, of course, Magic Dry has been very helpful to WFO Radio over the past couple of years. Scott Palmer, Magic Dry. If you got a shop, use Magic Dry. If you got a cat, get Cat Spot Litter. Been very helpful. We got a couple of comments out there. Let's see. Love your broadcast, Joey, says Daryl. Joey, do people call me Joey? Yeah, some do. Not a lot. Some do. Alan seems like a decent guy. Yeah, he's a decent guy. I like that word. Let's see. Fat Tire 22 from Fantasy NASCAR, ready for some racing. Our Fantasy NASCAR Racing League has gone in the tank this year. In case you did not hear, NASCAR is going to be back in action with no fans, starting off at Darlington. That is the word. Darlington. Where's the press release? NASCAR returning to action May 17th. Darlington. But the, see, to me, they're going to run Sunday, May 17th at Darlington Cup. And then they're going to run Sunday, May 24th at Charlotte Cup. And then they're going to run... And those are the first 2 weeks in NASCAR. So they are coming back. That makes me hopeful that at some point we'll be coming back. Now, they won't be, they're not racing with fans, which is a different side of the story. Now, people are mentioning the tree. The tree looks great. The Christmas tree looks great. Thank you very much. That is the original Miami Hollywood Speedway Christmas tree back there. And I worked there. It was one of the, I was the last announcer. Myself, Dale Hanks, Shanae Gerlach were the final announcers in Miami Hollywood Speedway in 1992, the last drag race. But when it was over, there was this 5-bulb tree down there. It was actually converted to a 3-bulb tree in the basement or the bottom floor storage. And I was able to acquire it. And I did my first and only restoration project. And what's cool is it actually works. And so I'm getting in on this practice tree madness that everybody is doing. Oh, I can't do 4/10 because it's just terrible. See? I'm stuck in the 440s, man. 440s all the time. I'm a 440 guy on Pro Tree. Not good. That's why I'm a top bulb racer, right? That's why I'm a top bulb racer, because I'm a 440 guy. Let's see. Tom says, great show. Craig says, really enjoyed the video this week. Tom's River, New Jersey. Demon Tweaker. I don't know what that means. Sorry I missed it live. I was watching Apollo 11 moon landing on PBS. Yeah, that's more important. He's from Jersey. Jimmy Oliver is the only other guy I know from Jersey. Mark Caruso, your thoughts on the NBC Sports article yesterday on NHRA's return. Joe. Here's what I think. I'm not in corporate communications. As in, I don't come up with the communications. I relay the communications that are given to me. In this case, no communication has been given to me, and so I'm a pundit on WFO. I want to be there with fans. I want to be there watching racing. But like Cruz said a little bit earlier, totally out of my control. So I'm going to just sit back and watch. For me to venture in with an opinion about good or bad or will it happen or won't it happen, it's a question is moot. It doesn't matter. People who are elected are making these decisions. That's, you know, heavy is the head that wears the crown. People who are elected in each state are going to make these decisions for their constituents. We will follow. And then at the end, like, we'll all make our own choice. Do I want to go? And then we will either go or we won't. But am I going to lock myself into, is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen? All of those things. I don't feel like doing that either. I asked Cruz. Cruz gave me an answer like this. You asking me? I'm giving you an answer like this. Because, you know, do I want to be back at the Gator Nationals following up the Door Slammer Nationals in Phoenix and get back to that momentum that we had at the start of the year? Of course I do. Of course. Am I trapped in my home being pretty much, you know, antisocial? Yes. That's why I created Friday Cocktails. Daryl said, I was trying to pull the light with you and you tricked me. How do I trick you? I turn it off? Yeah, I did turn it off. All right, so here's what's going on, just so everybody knows. Let's get up to speed, okay? Tomorrow, 4 p.m., wine night. Ron Tobler, Ron Capps, host of guests. Like, we're going to have a whole bunch of guests. We're going to have a bunch of people kind of popping in, popping out, saying what's up, chilling out. Want to remind you, WFO Radio t-shirts. This week's NitroFishRacing.com t-shirt of the week is the WFO Radio t-shirt, which celebrates our 10th anniversary of this podcast, which is now moved on to live stream, but the audio is still available on the podcast, and that's how most of our listeners listen. Not everybody can sit in front of their computer and watch us do this little show. We have a lot of hardworking people that are out there working on their cars, mowing their lawn, driving a truck, that love the show and listen. Hopefully you guys will all get the t-shirt at NitroFishRacing.com. This is the t-shirt of the week. NitroFishRacing.com. Please subscribe on YouTube. Click the bell so you never miss one of these shows ever again. But you can see it on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube. But our YouTube channel needs help. It's only got like 500 subscribers, which is like, eh, because I haven't been doing anything with it. Now we're doing something with it. So click subscribe, click the bell on YouTube. Of course, the podcast for audio only. Never miss one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, anywhere you get your podcast, you can find it. And of course, follow me at WFO Joe. If something really important is happening, I'll tweet about it. Like Alan Pruszynski and Chris Pedregon are going to be on our live stream. You want to know about that? I'll tweet about it and you'll be able to see just the same. We've got our Ignition show, which we did one earlier this week. It is very popular and a lot of people enjoy the kind of fun that we have. Do want to mention Factory Stock Podcast is going to be back since we do create podcasts for a lot of our clients. Factory Stock Podcast is one that has been very popular. I was just speaking with Brian Massengill about what we're going to do for the start of the season. Like, we did a podcast and then didn't have a race. What should we do? What we're going to do is we're going to do like take two. We're going to have the same guests, find out what they've done between then and now. So go subscribe immediately. Factory Stock Podcast. And other than that, WFO Radio, we have had a great time over this period. Like, it's been very interesting watching the development of the audience here on Facebook and how people are getting used to watching the live shows. Normally, I don't like doing live shows because you got to promote them in advance and then somebody can't make it and then you haven't lived up to your mandate, right? Thank goodness I have NHRA.TV. Let's go racing, says Kathy. Yeah, I want to be back there. Daniel Wilkerson, what's up, Daniel? Thanks for the entertainment. Let's get Daniel on here. Craig Glasser, I need to get a WFO Radio t-shirt. NitroFishRacing.com. You can get it. Simple as that. And Daryl, God bless you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And to all of our guests, Cruz Pedregon, Alan Pruszynski, we appreciate you. That's Clearside. Our music is by Clearside. Clearside Studios. A longtime WFO Radio listener. And this one is for us. And we love it. It's been our WFO Radio theme for a long time. Really appreciate everybody who has been super supportive. Here's that address for WFO Radio stickers once again. P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. Typically, two stamps, and I can put in four or a couple more stickers. Because, you know, I like to throw in, like, whatever else is sitting around here. That's how I get rid of unwanted stuff. And people, you know, occasionally will send me stuff in the envelope. You don't need to do that. Please do not do that. I'm trying to get rid of all my stuff. Trying to get rid of it. All right, everybody, that is going to do it. Really appreciate you, all the listeners. Remember, 4 p.m. tomorrow, start a watch party. Ron Tobler, Ron Capps, and other special guests. We're going to have a great time and make it a whole lot of fun. Beast in the Woods says stay safe. Scott says see you later. And I am out of here. All right, everybody, thank you so much. WFO.
WFO!
This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio. Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology.
Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, Sam now offers motorsport EFI tuning and an Associates of Applied Science degree. And Sam is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Hey, everybody. How do you start your day? You started off with a little coffee. And do you want something cheap and vacuum-packed with garbage? You want to pay for a retail coffee? It's like $11. Or do you want something that is good, like RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com? Join the Rodax Army. WFO users and listeners know all about it. Over 40 grades to choose from. This is roasted fresh per your order, not to mention hot sauce, spice rub. You got to call Marvin. Get on the phone line or go to the website, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Check it out. That's RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Hey, engine builders. Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com. You're working in the shop. You've got spills. You've spilled oil. It's everywhere. What are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com. Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO.
Hey, what's up, WFO Universe? It's Kathy Fisher. Join me along with Joe Costello every Sunday morning on Motor Trend for Performance TV. That's 8:30 a.m. Eastern. We'll see you then.
This is WFO Radio.